Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you. Somebody waits for you.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 605. I'm Amy Matheny, and yes, it is that time of year, the time for our year in review. We are looking back at 2014 and what a year it was. It is so chocked full. The next two shows will be about 2014, and I am going to be joined in both of these shows with two lovely gentlemen who do so much to provide content for our podcast 52 weeks out of the year. Matt Simonette, the senior reporter for Windy City Times, and of course Andrew Davis, who's been with us on all of these year in reviews, the managing editor of Windy City Times. Hey guys, how
hey
are
there
you?
Good,
we could all be cuddled on the couch, and I know that you hear podcasts from the couch and that would be good, but we're being a little more newsworthy around the table, so to speak. Here
we're being professional.
We're doing our best. Anderson Cooper, Rachel Maddow, and we got to find a third person.
Don't make me Don Lemon, please.
Okay. I don't know, you don't have to be Don Lemon. But I'm thrilled, and I want to start on a national level first, because I feel like there's so much to talk about. And really, 2014 feels like the year that marriage equality became almost the law of the land for the majority of Americans. Talk to me, Andrew, a little bit about how you feel looking back as somebody reporting the news of how we've changed since January until December of 2014.
Well, I remember last year's podcast when you asked me where do we see marriage heading. And I said, I think we should probably look to the far west, the west coast. Mm-hmm. Had no idea it would go so far that it would affect the deep south.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one. I mean, Mississippi just took slavery off the books in 2013. So who?
Yeah, I think sodomy laws are still good down in some of these places. Mm-hmm. So
right. So yeah, I was overwhelmed by this whole development. To have marriage in 35 states and the District of Columbia is not something I would have predicted last year. So it looks, I mean, the way it's going, I mean, there are a few holdouts, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely see more states joining next year, you know.
Well, and Matt, I mean, I think for you, it's got to feel, you cover so much local news, which we'll do on our next show, but it's got to feel exciting that this was the year the marriage equality came to Illinois, and because we all live here, and we kind of pride ourselves on setting the tone for the Midwest, but we weren't the first the game. So what kind of impact did it have for Illinois and Chicago?
Well, we started getting married, I think, en masse in January or February of this year, when the court decision kind of came early and said it was okay for Cook County to residents to begin getting married. And then more counties followed up on that.
Because they had thought it was going to be gay pride. We were all like, 2014 gay pride.
Right.
They like decided it in November, and then we all thought, we're going to have to wait like 7 months. Like, okay, it's okay for you to do it, but not for 7 months. Like that mattered.
Right. And so so it was just something that came early for us, a very pleasant surprise that came early for many people. Many people wanted to wait until June because they wanted a June wedding.
You know? Right.
And June 3rd when that could, because of the weekend, or June 2nd?
Yeah, it wasn't the 1st. It was, Monday, June 2nd, I believe.
Yeah, and people were ready to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I know that, as we said, I mean, there are so many states that are still pending. Right now, we're still doing news stories around, you know, Florida, which has a new date. I mean, I feel like Florida is so controversial politically in so many ways, but it's definitely been for us as LGBT people with, over the years, with their adoption, second parent adoption has been really horrible, and there have been some noteworthy stories in the past decades on that, and now, you know, this day in Florida, either they will they or won't they by January have marriage. But you also, like you said, Mississippi and Arkansas, and we have Kentucky, Missouri, Michigan, and Texas that are striking down marriage bans. But they, so at least feels kind of like they're leaving themselves wide open, you know, for it to all come tumbling down. I kind of feel like when I was listening about Arkansas and Mississippi, which I'm telling you, I know, Andrew, you don't miss a podcast. I've already predicted that Tennessee will be the one that takes it to the Supreme Court, the don't say gay state of Tennessee. But, you know, I was so shocked with Arkansas and Mississippi. And then to think that, you know, there are even judges down there that are like, okay, well, I think it's unconstitutional for you to define marriage this way, but I'm going to leave this window so you guys can go figure it out, you know? And
well, I think it's interesting in that really up through 2013, the story was kind of that this would be settled by the legislatures of states. And then really, you know, beginning this year and in Illinois, right at the beginning of the year, what really settled the matter was a court decision. And that's what you saw in the rest of the rest of the countries as these things went to appeals courts and they applied to other states and their jurisdictions. And that's when it just started tumbling.
So do you think, what role is the Supreme Court going to have in this story? I mean, they passed the ball in 2013, but now it feels like some of it is coming, continues to come back to them.
Well, I know with Kansas.
That's when the Sotomayor?
Yes, Sonia Sotomayor actually, I guess she made it so that the ban would be in effect after it was ruled unconstitutional. But then the entire Supreme Court overruled what she had to say, or her ruling. So, yeah, I really do feel like the Supreme Court is going to end up playing a role. I just wish it was decided once and for all. I'm hating this whole state-by-state battle, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously been very, very huge. And one thing it affects now, nationally, is, and I have been saying this for years on Lesbi Gay Radio, when people would say, you know, this is all, it's all a religious conversation, it's, you know, churches and right-wing fundamentalists and all of this, and I used to say, I really believe, even though I come from that background, yes, there's that, and that's a part of the denominator, but that's not the part of the denominator that's in power. I've always thought that marriage had to do with money and Social Security and the fact that our Social Security, you know, and benefits and all of this. I mean, if you have to treat us all fairly, there's more people you have to cover. There's more people who then our Social Security doesn't fold back into the government or whatever. So Social Security kind of had to amp up this year and figure out how they were going to deal with state by state. And at the same time, they protected trans brothers and sisters as well in protection as well, including you know, spouses of transgender individuals can receive Social Security. So it is interesting that we see all of the national ways in which we function, you know, whether that be insurance or Social Security or taxes. I mean, all of this is coming to pass, but they seem to be rewriting things fairly quickly. Is there something that you see as a hot button or a problem in this area?
Something I see as a hot button.
And you don't have to. I just didn't know if there was. Because they're saying right now that over 64% of the U.S. population lives in a state that currently issues marriage licenses. Mm-hmm. So it means, you know, we are way in the majority now that people live where you can get married. Mm-hmm. So
I've always thought that, you know, there's going to be, this may be settled by some kind of, this is pure speculation, settled by some kind of case where you have a couple who live someplace like New York or Chicago, and then they want to retire to Florida or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to be, you know, as you say, it comes down to money, and that's going to be property that that falls into another state, you know, and there'll be a dispute over that.
Well, somehow, I think money has propelled some of these decisions that I've taken already, because some of these legislators, even as well as judges, realize how much money the whole marriage equality would bring into the system.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
So,
well, and that's something we didn't have data on. I mean, the new data is like how many millions and billions of dollars having gay people get married and divorced or have a wedding is going to, you know, and travel to handle these destination weddings or honeymoons is all going to bring state to state. So it's huge. Talk to me, Andrew, about ENDA and any of the advances made with the Employment Non-Discrimination Act this year.
Well, as you know, the newest version of ENDA is gender identity inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting, a few groups, and it started with Rhea Carey, is that how you say her name? Rhea Carey of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, the executive director. She penned an op-ed earlier this year withdrawing the task force's support for ENDA because of the whole religious exception. She felt it was too broad.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of other LGBT organizations follow suit and also withdrew their support. It's going to be interesting to see how ENDA, if I don't think anything's really going to happen with it now that we have a Republican controlled Congress. Mm-hmm. I really don't think anything's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Obama's going to take some magical step and say, hey, I'm just going to, I really don't think it's going to happen for 2 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, there's going to be possibly some amendments. And it could be broadened even more, the religious exception. I don't know, but
well, I know you mentioned Obama, and I've laughed and said, you know, Obama's our first gay president in the same way Bill Clinton was our first black president. But obviously, so much has happened in his time in office for our community, and he's made a number of appointees who are openly LGBT. I don't know if he's appointed trans, but he's definitely lesbian and gay for sure. But the midterm elections definitely were another big story of this now Republican controlled Congress. Talk to me about the big stories, and Matt, what you see too from Matt or Andrew, what you see from the midterm election and its impact on anything we want to have happen in these next 2 years of Obama's presidency.
I think things are going to be at a standstill.
I do too.
Enough
progress is like, I think even maybe people who are more moderate are like, it's happening too fast.
Because
less
you saw
change.
What he had to do regarding immigration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think with anything that is LGBT related, it's just the whole wait and see thing, and this is going to be a lot of waiting. Mm-hmm. I really don't see advances being made next year on the congressional level.
Yeah. I don't think anything progressive can count on to happen there. I mean, the midterm elections, it's always the same story, you know. And we can go back 2 years, we'll see the same headlines in the last presidential election, you know, that the paradigm has shifted and so forth. But, you know, whatever energy the new Congress brings in with them, this winter, it will dissipate in 3 months, and we're just going to have the same moribund politics that we've had.
And I have to say, it seems interesting, and this is something I just saw, that there was this whole thread of religious exemption. We talked about ENDA, but there was also the whole situation with Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, for example, earlier this year, in which even Mitt Romney got into the game and said, look, you need to do the right thing here. And there was also the Hobby Lobby case. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about the Hobby Lobby case for those who don't remember.
That was basically about, was it just Hobby Lobby or was the group of businesses headed by Hobby Lobby? But anyway.
I think it was just Hobby Lobby.
It was just Hobby Lobby. Yeah. And they requested basically or argued for a religious exemption to coverage of or health insurance involving contraception.
Right.
And Hobby Lobby prevailed. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Is Obama going to be, is he going to go more rogue? Do you think that with what, I mean, he doesn't need to be reelected. Do we think he has it in him with what he did?
Is he
going to
go out in a blaze of glory?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
I just don't feel like Obama's really done anything that shows that he would be like that. But
that he would go rogue?
Yeah, that he would go rogue. It just doesn't seem
It seems like he's getting increasingly frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was thinking with the immigration, you know, okay, if this is how we have to play, then this is how I'm going to play. I'm just wondering here in the final stretch, the final minutes of the game, so to speak, if, you know, this is who he's going to turn into. I mean, and obviously some of that could very much impact us as immigration impacts us.
Well, I was even thinking if he does try to go out in a blaze of glory, it could burn the Democratic Party for years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just be aware of the consequences of your actions, Mr. Obama, if you're listening.
Yeah. So I'm sure he is listening. So we talked about, this being the year of marriage. We had some notable marriages. Many perhaps were celebrity marriages, which we'll talk about in our another show. But we did have a politician get married this year, the mayor of Houston, Texas, Anise Parker, who continues to be in the news and continues to try to bring LGBT issues to the forefront of that state through a major city in that state, through Houston. So that's super, super cool. And another thing I noted was the, which is interesting at this time of marriage equality and everything coming, that it was the first year that the U.S. Postal Service issued finally the Harvey Milk stamp, which was... which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Buy those up. Buy up the forever stamps. What are the other big news stories of the year for you on a national level? Hmm. We had people looking at corporations and openly gay people in positions of power.
Yes, Apple CEO Tim Cook coming out. I mean, it was kind of an open secret.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I was about to say, I never thought he was in.
I was very surprised when he came out, just because I just thought everybody knew that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel like it was even exactly like the Anderson Cooper, Jodie Foster thing. I actually just thought he was out.
I thought he
was the openly gay second in command of Apple under Steve for years. I mean, I feel like this is an old story, but I guess...
But he didn't officially come out.
This is what
came out.
With the report, that's what came out, right? That there was no...
Yeah, he also wrote an op-ed, I believe it was. What's up with the op-eds? Yeah, he did.
Everybody wants a voice. Essentially a blog today, right?
Yeah.
Or a podcast.
I believe it was on Bloomberg. It was in Bloomberg. He wrote an op-ed in which he officially came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... Yeah, he was a good CEO, the CEO of Mozilla, not necessarily a good CEO.
Talk about that story.
Yeah, Brandon Eich, I guess that he was named CEO by Mozilla, and it came to light because of OkCupid that Eich had donated to an anti-same-sex marriage effort. And so, you know, there's all of this blowback, as they say, and he... resigned actually pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that whole scandal or incident, whatever, lasted only like a week or two.
But amazing how, you know, at least impactful now to speak ill of the community has had huge repercussions. I mean, even in news stories as recently as last week, you know, we're hearing on a global level that happening in Latvia. So, I mean, I think it's interesting that these policymakers or people of power, some around the world are able to say whatever they want to say. We'll talk about that with her coming up. But What else? Anything else before we...
Do you want to talk about Truvada?
Yeah, let's talk about the landscape of HIV, AIDS, and...
Well, I think this was a an interesting year, really, in terms of Truvada. That
Truvada is a PrEP, or
that's PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis,
right? And something you take before you have sex. You know, if you think so,
right.
It almost makes you immune to
It
vaccinates you temporarily, 24 hours.
They differentiate it from a vaccine, I really don't know the specifics of it, but it does make you.
It
protects you and it's pretty much they've said if you take it occasionally, it'll be give you about 44% protection. But if you're very good about taking it every day, it can be up to 99%. So it has actually been approved for about 2 years, but this is a year where I think where it really started to hit the news. And it was interesting because there was kind of a controversy around Truvada, but there really wasn't a controversy. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which runs a lot of AIDS prevention programs in California and many other places, the head of that spoke out against Truvada, and he called it a party drug. And that really goes against what all the HIV/AIDS advocates in the country are saying right now. It goes against what the CDC has said about it.
Right.
And there was some controversy about that. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation has been pressing on with this campaign against PrEP through the whole year. They're still taping out ads against it. And it's very odd because his colleagues don't really know why it is mm-hmm. that's happening. And there's been some opposition to Truvada in the gay community itself, just because people, are very skeptical that they think this might lead to just more bareback sex, and they're unsure of what long-term effects from Truvada might mm-hmm. be. You know, so it's a very interesting drug.
Well, and it's interesting too. It's an interesting drug in that, you know, once again, we're talking about a drug, and these drugs are not cheap, which is what Mitchell and I talked about. Mm-hmm. That now they're, you know, wanting, you know, people who think they would be exposed in our community. It's mm-hmm. going to be gay men, mm-hmm. Gay or bisexual men primarily, you know, once again, you know, we're lining the pockets of pharmaceutical mm-hmm. companies, you know, and I think that's a big, that's, as an outsider, I mean, not, you know, and I'm not saying I'm entirely an outsider, mm-hmm. but as an outsider, you do kind of go, why can't we just find a vaccine for, you know, when is this going to become mm-hmm. the smallpox, the polio, the mm-hmm. the whatever of, you know, our parents, you know, generations before, but.
Because it's been 3 decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus now, right? So, but it definitely is an interesting story, and I think that it is still a conversation, you know? Interesting that...
You know, some places, like Washington State started a program to really try to get PrEP to everybody who can, everybody who wants it. And I believe San Francisco has something mm-hmm. like that now. I know they've been trying to get one.
It really is only going to help the people who can afford
the healthcare
to get it. I mean, but that's like anything. But I mean, this is not an easy drug for, you know, people in sub-Saharan Africa to try to mm-hmm. incorporate into their lifestyle, mm-hmm. You know, and is definitely only helpful to those unexposed.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. It's an interesting story. Yeah. Well, as we start talking on a more global level, we're going to take a quick break and tell you what's going on in the theater scene. And then I'll be back with Matt and Andrew, and we're going to take this to a global level, the year in review.
Ooh. Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite gal, Amy.
Culture. club.
Culture.
Club.
Culture.
Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 22nd, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Steppenwolf Theater presents Broadway Bound, Airline Highway, a new play set in New Orleans about a ragtag collection of strippers, hustlers, and philosophers. A boisterous and moving ode to the outcast to make life a little more interesting. Heading to Broadway in the spring of 2015, see it first at Steppenwolf. Learn more at steppenwolf.org.
Chicago Shakespeare invites you to set sail on Shakespeare's miraculous odyssey, Pericles, filled with adventure, romance, wonder, and redemption. Hailed as one of North America's best classical performers by the Chicago Tribune, Stratford Festival actor Ben Carlson takes on the title role beginning November 30th. For tickets to Pericles, visit chicagoshakes.com.
On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the smash hit rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit MillionDollarQuartetLive.com. Now playing at the Apollo Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Oh, Santa Claus is coming round. He's coming round tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the rein. Bells are ringing and children are singing and all is merry and bright. Hang your stocking and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus is coming tonight.
Oh, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for the boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, jingle. Oh gosh, what a beautiful sight. So jump in and
cover. So I'm back with Matt and Andrew, both of Windy City Times. It's our year in review show, and we've been talking about 2014, the year that has been on a national level, but looking at it from a world perspective, what were the top news stories? We came into this year with like the Time Magazine Person of the Year being, you know, the Pope, and the impending Olympics, which were becoming so controversial with Sochi and Putin and all of his putrid, you know, legislation against any kind of gay propaganda. I was trying to make it very illiterate. That's, did you hear that?
I liked it.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have that.
Putrid Putin. poo-poo Putin. It's a fun word to say, though, Putin. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm a lesbian. But, oh, it's good to have levity, because there's been some dark stories on a national level. I mean, a world level. But maybe it's just because we shine the light so harshly to remember the little bitty, you know, the SOSs from the other countries that need us, you know, here in the United States to continue to shine a light on people who are so less fortunate than us in the LGBTQ community. So let's talk about Russia and the Olympics and how that, you know, how that went down in Sochi and what it says for now after it, you know, what its impact has been.
Andrew will start. Matt will finish, maybe. But yeah, so the Sochi Olympics, which took place in February, was very controversial, as you said.
I mean, athletes were scared. I mean, even athletes.
Some people
and then
were
some
very...
came out, like, immediately. It was like, it was hilarious. Like, Billie Jean King was saying she was gay, and Brian Boitano, they're all saying, and then Obama sends, like, all the gays as the delegates, you know? It's like, you don't like gays? Well, have our shiny, happy people who we call gay, you know?
Although he did not go.
He did not go. And most, many world leaders did not go this year, which I thought was of huge note.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
But yeah, there was that whole specter of the law hanging over everyone who competed. And I think there was a woman who competed who had her fingernails painted a certain way, like rainbow fingernails.
She did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she, yeah, there was pressure
was
on
skater.
Her.
Was speed skater, I think it was.
And there was just this, yeah, this pressure on gay athletes. Johnny Ware was there being as gay as ever, though.
Right.
So, yeah, you can't stop Johnny. But after that, I mean, there was still pressure on the IOC. People have been applying pressure to the International Olympic Committee.
And the IOC did try to make athletes and people coming feel safe. But they've realized...
But their hands were tied.
Right, because it had already been set.
There was only so much they could do. And just recently, I think a few days ago, the committee included sexual orientation. I'm not sure if gender identity was also included in the charter as a protected category, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they have made a move, although some LGBT people said it's not enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Talk to me about Uganda. I mean, it's been definitely... It's been, I mean, you know, Africa, Uganda, it's you know, in so many ways our LGBT brothers and sisters are in peril, whether it's HIV/AIDS or it's just protections.
Yeah, there's just some places, unfortunately, where you can't be LGBT. I mean, you have Russia, you have the Middle East, you have Africa, you have a lot of the Caribbean islands, unfortunately. But regarding Uganda, yeah, the president signed the anti-homosexuality bill into law earlier this year. However, the government overturned it on technicality, so it's not enforced. But I do believe Gambia does have... Is that a Gambia or... I believe it's a Gambia that has its own law in place.
I think you're right about that. And the UN has even spoken out about this. I mean, the UN is trying to, you know, use any muscle that they have as well.
Yeah, various... The UN and various committees of the UN have spoken out against everything from that... Yeah, the law in Uganda to conversion therapy in the United States. Yeah, the UN seems to be getting more active, more hands-on in fighting for LGBT rights, thankfully.
Yeah. Where did we see some victories on a global level?
Good question.
I know we had some marriage equality come
Yeah, marriage equality came to Scotland, as you know. England and Wales had their first marriage. You know, they started same-sex marriage this year. Also, Denmark noted the 25th anniversary of its first same-sex marriage.
Isn't that crazy? 25 years.
It was 1989.
Wow.
Yeah, the first person was married in Copenhagen, I believe.
Yes.
And Finland, of course, joined as well this year.
Joined the other Scandinavian countries.
And I can't remember if France was this year or last year, but I do know that it's continued to be controversial in France. You know, like whether or not Sarkozy's going to, you know, what their upcoming election is going to look like. And it's so surprising. I think of France as being so free love. I'm like, if Spain's not having controversy, a Catholic nation, then why?
Isn't the mayor of Paris gay?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
So it's really, really interesting, whatever is organizing their dissenting voice. It feels like it's...
The church.
They're doing a lot because there was an anti-marriage equality march earlier this year that had 100,000 people.
Yeah, it was, and it was fairly... felt a little more volatile than some we hear about in like in a part of the EU, you know, as opposed to somewhere else. What else? What else? In South Africa, though, we did have the first openly gay black member of parliament. His name was Zakile Mbale. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sure I'm not, but he's the only one. So that guy, ZM,
I think
that's pretty amazing because he's young. He's like under 30 years old.
Yeah.
So that means hopefully shines a light on change, you know, and progress coming to that country.
Yeah, if he lived in Chicago, he'd be in Windy City times 30 under 30.
He would be. He would be. We should still send him an honorary one, I feel like, for sure.
But the Vatican, well, the Pope, he try getting some pro LGBT statements out.
Bless his heart.
But
little Jesuit. He's just as sweet as he can be. He's trying to be of service like a good Jesuit would be. Sweet Latin boy.
And India actually designated the transgender community as a third gender this year.
Oh, wow.
So
that's huge.
Yeah, that was pretty huge, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking, something just popped into my head.
That's good. No, speaking of transgender, and I mean, that will be a lot discussed in our next show. A big story for the world was the Eurovision winner.
Oh, my goodness.
Conchita Wurst.
Conchita Wurst.
The bearded drag persona, trans persona, winning Eurovision, which was kind of huge. I mean, that was for sure one of the many things that kicked off what I would say was kind of the year of marriage equality and the year of trans. Mm-hmm. And so Conchita definitely, you know, put a stake in that and kind of said, you know, yes, we are here and won and took the whole competition, I think, by surprise. Is even an outside of the box trans person in terms of really being provocative around gender and gender ideas and gender norms even pushing the envelope even further, I think, which is kind of interesting and fascinating.
I think Conchita would be a great Queercast guest.
I think so too.
I really
don't know any German. Does she know any English?
I don't know.
I'd have to get a translator. Any German translators, please apply by emailing us or calling us. We would love that. Well, great. Well, I feel like it's been a big, plump year of national and international year. Anything else we need? Because next show, we're going to really talk about what happened in Chicago, because we are the city that works, and our LGBT people are working, and many, many stories that Matt covered tirelessly. He's exhausted, though. I have coffee going straight into his vein right now. And unfortunately, things continue to come. We're not to the end of the year yet, and stories continue to come. And he and Andrew and all of our staff and writers, you know, do such a dedicated job, and photographers. And then we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is entertainment, and dish about just culturally what happened in the world of sports and entertainment and celebrity and pop culture. So all that on the next show. You guys, can we keep Matt awake? We'll keep Matt awake.
We need coffee stat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have a great week, everyone, and Merry, Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. And winter solstice, I guess, celebrating all of those this week. So happy holidays, everyone. We'll be back with you next week for our New Year's show and our year in review again with Andrew and Matt. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Yeah.